as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we would direct you prayerfully to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, and reading verse 8. First chapter of Timothy, and verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. What a mercy then, if by the grace of God you have been shown a little of this sinfulness of sin. You see here Paul in speaking to the Romans says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, I know not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. We know that it is God's just and righteous law that he revealed on the Mount Sinai to Moses himself. And how disobedient were the people of Israel to that law. And they made in the absence of Moses, when he was conversing with his God in the mount, they made that golden calf and worshipped that. And then the anger of Moses, he broke the stone, the commandment stone. Lord, how solemn when we think how guilty we stand of breaking those Ten Commandments. There is no soundness in us. But as you are given grace, so you and I will see that we are amongst those that have been guilty of breaking these Ten Commandments. But as grace is given, we shall know that this is God's just and righteous law, and he demands, according to his holy word, obedience to that holy law. What hope then is there for you and me? Many in our day have swerved, as Paul says, and turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherefore what of they affirm. But we know. Or do we know? That is the question, is it? As we come into God's house, do we know that thou art the man? Do we know that we are condemned by the teaching of the Spirit? We are condemned by the broken law. Oh, how vital it is then that the Lord grant you that quickening grace, that we might know that the law is good, and to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints of God. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now how can a sinner keep one jot or tittle of the law unless grace is given to quicken him and teach him the fear of God? There's the secret, isn't it? You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We read here, don't we, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Oh, how vital it is that you and I know sound doctrine. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, saith the Lord. Lord, there's a great withholding in our day, isn't there, of this power of the Spirit to rest upon us, searching us. And yet, you know, we go on, don't we? We hold sin as a sweet morsel under our tongue. We're so prone to sin, aren't we? why the dark contagion fills the veins and spreads its poison to our hearts. But deep down in your soul and mine, we know what the commandment of the Lord is, that we keep his word. For thou the entrance of his word alone can give light, can't it? And this is that what we pray for, we believe, for the outpouring of the Spirit upon us that speak, and the pouring of the Spirit upon the words that we do speak, that they might be applied to your souls, that we might know that the Lord is good, acknowledge that the Lord is good, even in his law that demands obedience, even in that law that may at times harden. The terrors of the law, how they trembled, the people of Israel, at God's holy law in the mount. But oh, how they were soon left to come down to that carnal-minded state and condition that they were in through the breaking of the law. As sin entered and death by sin. When Eve, she took that fruit that she was forbidden to take. Oh, how sin entered and death by sin. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Jesus came, made under the law, that he might fulfill the just demands of the law. What a suitable word this is, dear friends, isn't it? A faithful and acceptable saying, worthy of all acceptation. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Or have we then a little faith, this right use of the law, this blessed law, the gospel, the good news, the blessings of the law that enrich your soul and mind as you're given faith to believe and trust in him. You say, I go for all his paths of peace, desiring to know more of this law of the gospel. Yes, you stand guilty of breaking the law of Ten Commandments, Moses' law. But you see, that knowledge of the law will bring you and me to our knees. Lord, I am the man. Lord, I have sinned against light and knowledge. Lord, oh, do grant that in spite of my blushings and the shame of face to come before thee, that thou wilt not turn me away, but show me thy hands and thy feet and thy side, and grant that I might see what it cost thee to make amends for the breaking of the law by me, my personal sins. You see, there's a whole catalogue here, isn't there, of sins? These are the things that defile mankind. Not that that goeth into the mouth, that that cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death, says Paul. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Oh, to be given that living faith, the arms of faith to embrace the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and to plead that he might form himself in your heart the hope of glory. We know the law is good if man use it lawfully. Lord, may the sanctification of that broken law bring me with true weeping and supplication to the mercy seat, praying without ceasing, Lord, reveal thy love to me. You see, we're sold under sin, yet carnal. The carnal mind then is ever at enmity to God, or to have that spiritual mind. Oh, don't you long for it, friend? You read the word daily in your homes, no doubt, most of you. You perhaps read a portion by some godly soul. May read your daily life, whatever it is. Is it ever impressed upon your soul, a portion of God's word, that you might know more of the understanding of it, and when it's a promise, that you might have the witness and the sealing of it of the Spirit upon your soul? You say, that's mine. that word, Lord, is that Thou hast given me. You know, I believe we can say that, can't we? You sung it this morning. I can say that's mine without boasting. He that has made my heaven secure, or much tried, you know, will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can we want beside? We do have wants, don't we, beside these things? And we cannot bring ourselves into the sweetness and the blessedness of that occasion when perhaps the Lord so spoke clearly to you. You say, Lord, yes, I'm guilty of breaking thy law, but oh, may I use it lawfully. Lawfully, not with a feigned faith, but with unfeigned faith, true faith, living faith. You know, there's a lot today is feigned faith. It's a made up religion of the flesh. It's excitable flesh, exciting the flesh in religion, in worship. Oh, there's a false praise. There's a false repentance. There's a false faith, presumption. Or may you beware, everware of duty faith, and beware of the free offer. It's Christ alone can work in your heart and mind both the will and do of his good pleasure. It won't be a fleshly, excitable religion. It'll be a religion that you possess but little of. But it'll be something that you know that you're guilty of this breaking of this law. And the law and terrors do but harden. This is it, isn't it? We have to prove it, don't we? The law and terrors do but harden. Your daily sins and mine too. None of us are exempt from sin, are we? Daily we sin. Hourly, minutely we sin, don't we? When the Lord shows you a little, when he shows you his hands, his feet and side, when he shows you what he has suffered, bled and died for, then you know, and if it's for you personally, that'll melt your hard heart. That'll make you have godly sorrow for your sin. That'll make you a mourner in Zion. And you'll look to the Lord to come and wipe away the tears from off your faces. Oh, the Lord, you know, we prove is good, don't we? A stronghold in the day of trouble. We know this. And as we have our trials sanctified to us, we know this, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we know that the law is good. Lord, help me to abide by the law, then I cannot keep myself. Myself I cannot say, myself I cannot keep. But you know, the mercy is, as you cry daily unto the Lord, as these exercises, for want of a better word, they flash into your mind, an exercise. Thought's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God controls our thoughts at times, that we may feel that pricking in the conscience that we're doing evil, doing something that's contrary to his will. Yes, I know Satan can do it too. But when the Lord, in his sovereign mercy, really convinces you and me of our sin, and we stand guilty of breaking the law, so we need the Lord, that grace in our hearts, that it might be used lawfully in pleading that the Lord would appear to us and for us and show us that he has made us amongst those whom he has bought with a price. Made us to know it and to feel it. And the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. Doesn't that bring you here, dear friends? For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And oh, sometimes that anger might kindle up, yes, and it might kindle up in the hearts of some of you young people toward your parents when they exhort you to do something that is contrary to your own will. Oh, you have to prove it, don't you? That enmity that arises even in your heart when the devil comes in. And you say you won't do this or you won't do that. And you know mother and father know best. Oh, what a mercy that the Father of lights knows better still. And he knoweth their frame. He knows their weaknesses and their failings. But the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And oh, as we look to the Lord Jesus alone, who has magnified this law, made it honourable. In other words, satisfied the just demands of it for you and me. You know the sinner, the true sinner, quickened by the Spirit, is a sacred thing the Holy Ghost has made him so. This then is the work of the Spirit to convince you and me of our sins. And we tremble before the majesty of God. Now you see, before, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There are many things that we may do in ignorance and unbelief. Don't let that be a license to you and me that now believe. Don't let that be a license to us to go on breaking God's law and being blasphemers and persecutors. We shall be very conscious, I believe, if we have through mercy been quickened and alive, to seek to be kept. And seek to walk worthy of him who hath in his condescending love and mercy and pity to poor sinners exercised them to seek to know and do his will. And so it'll be this continued exercise with wrestling prayer, committing thy way unto the Lord, trusting also in him. The law then is good, and it'll break the heart of you and me when we see the sufferings of Christ. This is where we want to bring you, isn't it? To lay you low, but to exercise you by living faith that lives and labours under load, though damned, never dies, will ever be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading that he might be merciful unto your soul and save you from your sins. And as grace is given, so you will humbly desire to seek first that kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that you and I get so careful and troubled about might be added unto you. Now this law then is for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners. And all we have no fear, have we, if we keep the law in a natural sense in the earth. We should tremble, shouldn't we, if we're left to break God's, if man's law we break, we shall tremble if we are caught breaking that law, and we shall be rightly punished. But if by the grace of God you know that you have broken God's holy law and he in his sovereign love and mercy and pity reveals himself to you, so you'll seek that grace to humbly follow him and to serve him, because he alone can govern your ways and your affairs, and that'll be a perfect way. Or we may sometimes be contrary to the way and the will of your mind and your schemes and your plans. But as for God, his way is perfect. Oh, and he will perfect that concerns your soul. Yes, as you are stripped of all your self-righteousness and pride, and that'll be a good thing. Strip you and me of everything to bring you with nothing. And to be desiring in your soul, and that's a mercy, to have a desire to be shown the right way. And to be blessed with this knowledge of the truth that is in Christ. It's Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Speak peace and pardon to my soul. Grant me some blessed evidence that I have living faith, that I trust in the Lord, the living God, and that he is that friend that is born for adversity for me in the pathway. Yes, you come blushing and shame unto me, shame of face, blushing like one of old did. Came with blushing and ashamed, lifted up his face before God. But through the mercy of God, he knew that the law is good because God made it. God made it. You may rebel against God's holy law, but God made it. And those 10 commands that he commanded should be kept. Oh, how we have to prove that we need the Lord to continually hold up our goings in his paths, that our footsteps they slip not. And through mercy, that Christ and him crucified might be the very theme of our soul's desires, looking unto Jesus. And to feel that blessed grace in your heart and mine, which alone is sufficient for you. His strength made perfect in your weakness. When the Lord so teaches you and me, then his fear, it's when that grace is in operation in your soul. He'll teach you his fear. He'll prick you in the conscience. He'll exercise you in the steps you take. And you'll pray continually, Lord, do undertake for me. Do keep my feet and preserve me from those the gins and snares and traps that Satan is ever readily laying for my unwary feet. You seldom see the snare, you know, before you feel the smart of it. But when the law is used lawfully, that is, when the Lord so applies the law to your soul and mine, when he pricks you in the conscience, when he exercises you in perhaps that sidestepping into Bypath Meadow, or where you have to confess your sins again and again before the Lord and pray, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. And do bring me into that gospel liberty, that though I'm a wretched, vile sinner, I acknowledge that the law is good, but I have failed miserably in attempting to keep it myself. See, there's that within man, isn't it, that says that he'd do that's right according to God's word, and he'd do it in his own strength of these things. Now, the Lord shows you how weak and ready to faint you are. You know, fleshly zeal in early days in religion can self-determine us that you won't do that thing, but you'll do that thing which is right. You won't do that thing is wrong. But now you'll have to prove, I believe, if we know a little by experience, how that fleshly zeal will soon fail. And oh, how weak you are, and how ready you are to go along. You know, you're ready to, as it were, hunt with the hounds and run with the deer. You want to be pleasing to man after all. You find your own weaknesses, don't you? When the Lord deals with you as with a son, as he teaches you by the way, that without him ye can do nothing. And now you have to pray continually, Lord, I am sold under sin. I am such a vile wretch. I cannot keep myself. I cannot walk worthily of thee without thee holding up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Oh, and oh, to feel this daily repentance. We find that their carnal mind, don't we, is so earthy, so at enmity to God. And what a burden that is to some of us. We cannot think one thought aright, let alone act any act or deed aright. Oh, wretchedness and vileness of our sinful heart. You know, you've nothing to bring, have you, to God? Nothing to cry for unless the Lord convince you of your sins and grant you that right use of his holy law and that pleading that Jesus himself might draw near to you, warm your cold heart, and say, all this I have done for you. There's the satisfaction of a poor sinner that's in great straits. The blessed appearance of Christ, the revelation of his love, that as you've sown in tears, and real tears they will be from a broken heart because of the broken law and the condemnation of it and the just judgments of God for that broken law. Or how you'll so soon realize, I believe, that the Lord alone can come and cover all your sins with that mantle of his forgiving love. You'll get often oppressed, I believe. You'll find you travel much by night. You understand so little of his holy word. And oh, how you long for the Lord to confirm yourself. And you know, Satan has so many distractions, hasn't he? You don't have to believe that, or you don't have to believe this. You can go and do what you like if you've sought to pray unto God. You can go and do what you like, leave it all into his hand. You may even have that fatalistic spirit of many, that whatever will be. If I'm appointed to be lost, I shall be lost. If I am appointed to be saved, I shall be saved. What a fatalistic attitude that is. But when the Lord exercises you with real repentance, you know, even maybe but a moment, your heart's been broken perhaps for a few seconds, and you felt really your desire for Christ. What a mercy. Hold fast to those things. You know, it won't be continually, will it, with weeping, will it? Only as the Lord brings you. Only as the Lord humbles your heart before him. But I believe your daily prayer to be kept. Lord, you see, you might be over-friendly with those of the world. You meet with them occasionally in business or in your neighbourhood. And they may be used of God as a help to you in many ways. But Lord, don't leave me to follow and pursue their worldly ways. But do grant, Lord, that I might not be left to speak inadvisably before them. Don't leave me, Lord, to be swallowed up with their folly. You know, the laughter of fools is as the crackling under pots, we read, don't we? Oh, and how guilty we stand. Can't cast any stones at anybody, dear friends. The laughter of fools is as crackling under pots. What foolish things we laugh at. The laughter of fools. Be a different day, won't it, when we're brought to the judgment seat of Christ. The law is good, you know, if it's so sanctified to you and me. You'll use it lawfully, you'll pray, Lord, that's me. Guilty of breaking all Ten Commandments. I'm a wretched, lawless, disobedient, ungodly sinner. You know, you're no better than any of these words that we have before us. Unholy, profane, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers for manslayers. And you know, sometimes we say looks could kill, and maybe murder in your eyes. When someone may oppose you, when that enmity rises up within you in a flash and moment, we are none of us exempt, are we, from God's description of us as sinners? Oh, how we need the Lord, don't we, to deliver us from unsound doctrine and to bring us into this glorious saving knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. and this gospel that was committed unto Paul. And so don't look for perfection in any man, preacher or people alike. That doesn't license you and me to sin, does it? But I believe it'll exercise us with that desire that we might have that good conscience and that living faith, that we might have our feet kept, and that we might look to the Lord Jesus Christ to enable us, those of us that stand up in his name, that we might be counted, that he might give us that grace to be faithful according to his word. No, it won't be all telling you continually what a wretched, vile sinner you are, but I believe it'll bring you here to a balanced diet, as they say. The balancing of the cloud. Yes, you'll be shown your wretchedness, your vileness, but you'll also be brought here to see a beauty in Christ. You'll not have him to reign over you when you're dead in trespasses and sins. You'll not have this man interfere with your so-called will of your flesh. Will you? I'm going to do this. Self-will and determination. In an unregenerate sinner, you know, it's awful, isn't it? Not have this man to reign over us, defying authority. Defying the authority of God. There are many defy the authority in the earth, don't they, of man-made laws. But oh, defying the authority of God's word. How silent. Lord, give me grace, you say, when you're taught by the Spirit. Give me grace to walk in thy fear. Give me grace to walk in obedience to thy word. This is what we need in our day, don't we? For the exhortation of God's word, the authority of it, to be a lamp unto our feet. Grace in your heart to walk in the fear of God. Lord, I'm often oppressed. And it is by reason of the Lord showing you your sins, your secret sins. You know your secret sins here today, each one of you, if you're to be shown them by the Spirit. The secret sins that he reveals to you in the light of his countenance. And he says, be ye holy. Well, don't you shrink from that, friends. Be ye holy as I am holy. How can a holy thing be found in an unholy, unclean thing such as you and me that have broken that holy law? The law is good if a man use it lawfully. And elsewhere Paul says this, the law is our schoolmaster that leadeth us to Christ. Oh, the law is your schoolmaster. That's when it's good, friends. That's when it's used lawfully. You know, what a mercy this is. The law is our schoolmaster that leadeth us to Christ. I can speak to you of a man that I know when I went to Stockford once and took those words, not knowing how to speak from them or to understand them as I did this morning, this word. That man, I believe, I understand, was blessed under our labours those many years ago. I don't want to speak of self, but it's to his honour and glory. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Oh, has the law then been used lawfully and profitably in your soul's experience to lead you to Christ? When the Lord's judgments are in the earth, when his judgments have affected you, when he's chastened you seven times. Oh, it seems one thing on top of the other to bring you lower and lower and lower in your feelings. Oh, Lord, you say, I am oppressed. And why? What is there not a cause? You and me have these things that try us and perplex us and torment us. Is there not a cause? Yes, Lord, I acknowledge Ah, you're coming there, aren't you, as a repentant sinner? Lord, I acknowledge my sins and my transgressions. I have sinned against light and knowledge. There's no soundness within me. Oh, the law is doing its work then. It's doing its work, isn't it? It's bringing you and me to acknowledge Christ and to seek that he will yet appear unto you and for you and bless you indeed as you're brought under his chastening hand. And it's grievous, isn't it? The hand of God you may feel has gone out against you. It's grievous. And these burdens are grievous to be borne. But there's a wise purpose in it. The Lord, you know, will yet deliver you. And he will yet bless you abundantly with his grace when he drops in that sweet, precious promise that I have bound thee up secure. Do you see, I find no fault in him. Lord, in his sovereign mercy, then, able to cover you with that robe of his righteousness. And you're not then ashamed, are you? Because the grace of your Lord is exceeding abundant as he has blessed you and favoured you with a token of his love. Now this blessed work and sanctification of the law brings you to seek that holiness. You have there's something in your secret in your heart that desires the holiness of the Lord. Lord, I am an unclean thing. But I desire that holiness, that imputed righteousness of Christ, that I might be weaned from this present evil world, that I might be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. That through the mercy of God, I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. As he raises me from the dead, exercises my soul to humble myself before him, the Almighty God. That I might be exalted in due time, casting all my care upon him. You see, here is the antidote for death, the blood of Christ. Yes, you have nothing that you can speak of, but you believe, you're persuaded, you know, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. And this law and terrors do but harden. All the while they work alone. You acknowledge them, but a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. There's the antidote. The blood-bought pardon dissolving your heart of stone. He gives you a heart of flesh. He makes you tender in his fear. Oh, this love of Christ. What a blessed theme it is, the love of Christ. To poor unworthy sinners. Yes, and it's for the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his or her need. A welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me. There's nowhere else to find rest for your soul or rest for my soul. It's labouring to enter into that rest that remaineth to the people of God. Lord Jesus, shine, you say. Lord, give me that real religion of God's elect. I cry daily. I try to pray daily for a token of thy love. Lord, I have such little faith. I wonder sometimes whether I have any faith. But do keep alive that desire, faint and feeble that it is, that I might yet know thee. With that sweet persuasion also, that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Oh, it's a mighty Saviour, isn't it? It's a mighty work, isn't it? It's almighty grace too, to arrest this or that sinner and cause them to look to the Lord for those tokens of his love. So the Lord has promised that he will be with his dear people. And now all your work will be tried with fire. Mark these words, dear friends. Every man's work will be tried with fire to see what sort it is. And if you and I in God's house are of wood, hay or stubble, have a feigned religion, it'll be burnt up with trouble. They were offended, weren't they, at the words of the Lord Jesus, and many turned back and walked no more with him. And he had to say this, you know, will you also go away? And they said to him, Lord, to whom else can we go? To whom else can you go? You say, I want an evangelical religion. I want something that comforts me, that pleases me more. I want an easier believism. I want something that's going to please my flesh. I don't want to be cut up root and branch and told that I'm a sinner, or told that I'm lawless and disobedient and ungodly and unholy and profane. I don't want to be told that. You know, friends, if that's the sort of religion you're after, you know, it's only the religion then of wood, hay or stubble, and it'll be burnt up. But if the Lord Jesus is the author of your faith, it'll be as gold or as silver and brass. And it won't burn up in the fire. All the dross will be burnt up in the fires of trial of your religion and mine. But if you have but a little, if you have a little, dear friends, a little of that blessed faith of God's elect, you'll hold fast to it. And you'll bless God if from time to time he strengthens your weak hands and confirms your feeble knees of faith. That you say, Lord, I do believe, I do believe. And there'll be from unfeigned lips. Because the Lord is the author of that faith. And you know, Lord, you say, Lord, I know that the law is good, but I've failed miserably. But I would use it lawfully to plead that thou, Lord Jesus, has stood in my room, place and stead. Thou hast washed all my sins away with that blood that thou did so freely shed on Calvary's tree. And that I might know thee as my Redeemer that liveth and will stand at the latter day upon the earth, when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, when he comes at the call of death, and through mercy I might be blessed with that abundant entrance into thine everlasting kingdom. Oh, how vital then that you and I are kept unspotted, kept conscious of our need to hold the world at a distance. Hold the things of the world and this time state with a loose hand, not to be over indulgent in the things of this world, but to be very conscious and exercise in our soul, to be blessed with grace in our hearts, to use this law lawfully, the Lord would be our guide, and that this law might lead us to Christ. There's the object of it, isn't it? To lead us to Christ, as that schoolmaster teaches the children, so the law is our schoolmaster, to teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, and to seek the Lord, and serve him with the whole heart, to love him with the whole heart, and to humbly follow him whithersoever he goes, and whithersoever he directs you and leads you. To be presented perfect at last in that robe of Christ's righteousness. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. May the Lord in his mercy bless our few remarks that might be acceptable and forgive all amiss. Amen.